In our passage today, we're going to be thinking about two disciples who couldn't recognize someone right in front of their eyes and to understand the difference that it made. Well, to help us think about that, got a little challenge for you. Behind me on our mantelpiece are six Lego minifigures. Figures like this. Can you see how this figure is resembling me? My hair is nearly as long. And yes, I've been picking up my guitars, but behind me are six minifigures. In a moment, I'm going to step away, and I'm going to invite you and those that you're sitting with to locate them and then to write down what they are. Are you ready? Here we go. How did you get on? Let's have a look. The first one was a chicken. The second Lego minifigure was an artist. Our third figure was a skier. The fourth, the Easter Bunny. Our fifth character was a tennis player. And perhaps the hardest of them all, who is this person? It's the minifigure of Sherlock Holmes. Can you see the deerstalker and his magnifying glass and his tweed jacket? Thanks for joining in. Let's hear our reading.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lewis. And I'd love it if you could grab a Bible and read it with me. There's also going to be the words followed on the screen as we go along. But the reading can be found in the Gospel of Luke right towards the end. And the reading today is going to be from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. They were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came out and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going to Father. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread."
I enjoy looking forward to things. But sometimes if we look forward to something too much, this can heighten our sense of disappointment if things don't turn out as we would like them to. Have you ever had that experience where something hasn't turned out as you expected or wanted it to be? Perhaps you went to a special restaurant and it didn't live up to the hype or the cost of your meal. Maybe it was when you went on holiday that you were really looking forward to and needed, only to find that it was a deflating experience. Maybe you've been disappointed by an exam result. Maybe you've experienced disappointment in a job. It wasn't all that you were led it was to be. And perhaps that promotion you're expecting has not been forthcoming. And I recognize that there are other disappointments that affect us more deeply in our lives. Disappointment, sadly, can describe the emotions that many people can have of Jesus and his church. What someone wanted Jesus to be like and the church to be was not what they experienced. And so sadly, with a range of emotions, people can and do walk away from Jesus and walk away from the church. This was the experience of the two disciples who we've been introduced to in our reading. They are walking away from Jesus. They are walking away from Jerusalem, where they have seen with their own eyes how he has been killed and buried in a tomb. They have experienced the most traumatic week of their lives. They have seen him humiliated. They have witnessed with their own eyes his very public and brutal death on a cross. And so they are leaving disorientated, dejected and disappointed with a whole range of emotions. That's how the reading begins. But as it ends, we see that their experiences and characters and demeanor have been transformed. Luke tells us that's because they meet the risen Jesus. That's to get ahead of ourselves. Did you notice how when they first met him, they did not recognize him? They did not see him as he was because they were locked into their own earthly understandings. Back to those two disciples. As they're walking away from Jerusalem, they have lost two things. They have lost their teacher, their rabbi, their friend, and their Lord and Savior, or so they had thought he was. And secondly, it has impacted their own lives. They have lost their vision and purpose in life. As disciples of Jesus, they were part of that small group, journeying with him. They were part of the coming kingdom of God that Jesus, they believed, was bringing. They had a whole new friendship group. They were excited about the future. But those dreams, those relationships, that sense of identity, meaning, and purpose has been lost. All because of the death of Jesus. Those two disciples are experiencing the trauma of loss. And in our own times and in our own lives, we also experience loss. Loss of a different magnitude. We can and do experience the loss of a loved one. We can experience the loss of a way of life, of a relationship, a livelihood. And we can also experience a loss of ambition and a future. And this can affect our confidence, our identity, our sense of meaning and value. And this can be very painful. As we live through the COVID-19 pandemic, many of us are experiencing such a sense of loss. And this is painful for everyone. And because we don't know how things will pan out, and because we cannot exercise any influence or control, our sense of loss and our anxiety and pain can be all the greater. So perhaps we can empathize more strongly with our story as we consider it today. Back to those two men. One we know is called Cleopas, the other is unnamed. They're walking away from the dead Jesus, back to the security of their old lives, to their home in Emmaus, 7 miles away. Did you notice when it was taking place? Luke makes a point of telling us that it's 3 days since Jesus' death. This is a significant detail. You see, in the scripture, numbers have a meaning. And the number 3 has a symbolic meaning of completion. It has also a meaning, 3 days, of pointing to an important and transformative event in the salvation history of God. So Luke wants us to know that something significant is about to take place. It's the 3rd day, the day of resurrection, the day of new life and of new hope and of new community and purpose. So back to those disciples. Picture them in your mind's eye. They're walking back to their homes. And Luke tells us in verse 14 that they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. I love that verse. They were talking about everything that had happened. Luke wants us to know that these two disciples weren't talking about the sport. They weren't talking about the weather, about politics, about their careers, about their favorite drinks, about their pensions or anything superficial. No, they were talking about Jesus and the impact that his death and life has had upon them. They're talking not just about the events, but the impact upon their lives today and in the future. I think this was a courageous thing to do. I don't know about you, but I wonder how you respond when you experience a loss. The temptation of our human psyche is to lock ourselves down, not to share our thoughts and emotions with feelings with anybody else. Think that only we can deal with our situation. And even if we could find the words and the strength of character to share, we might not share because we're worried if the person will truly listen, if the person will truly understand, whether they're actually interested, or perhaps worse still, if hasn't listened, they will then tell us how to be when they cannot understand what life is like in our shoes. And this is what makes the response of those two disciples all the more remarkable. To talk openly and freely about Jesus and the impact of his death upon their lives. This was courageous. This was brave. Think how men were probably viewed at the time. They had to be strong and courageous and not do emotion. Yet Luke makes a point of telling us how they've been open, real and vulnerable. And how their experience, I think, can help us today. As we find ourselves in this confused and uncertain time, as we acknowledge the loss of the security of our past, of all that we knew and what we were looking forward to, we're in this strange place now where we've lost our understanding of the world, and perhaps our dreams and our aspirations are under threat. They may have been crushed. At the very least, they may be uncertain and we're unable to exercise any control. And so what these two disciples encourage us to do is in our time and way to be honest with God and to honest with each other, to find a Christian that we know and trust, to be real and honest with them, to listen with love, to support with them with prayer and counsel as we seek to journey onwards today. But let's go back to the two disciples on the Emmaus Road. Luke tells us as they're talking openly and freely, Jesus came towards them and then walked with them. And then Luke tells us something very interesting. They were kept from recognizing Jesus for the 2 hours that they would have walked together. Why do you think that was? Well, I think the answer is given by Luke in verse 25, when Jesus tells them that they were foolish and slow of heart to understand the scriptures. You see, I believe their inward inability to recognize Jesus mirrored their inward unbelief of who he was, as has been revealed in the scriptures. You see, Jesus wants them to see, and that's biblical language to understand and to receive salvation. And Jesus is looking forward. He knows he's going to return to the Father at his ascension. And he needs his disciples to truly know who he was, so that in the power of the coming Holy Spirit, they could go and continue his ministry. They need to be men and women who would walk by faith, not by sight. Their belief and confidence has to come through faith in the written word, not just by experiencing the physical experience of the risen Jesus before them. How thoughtful and powerful and sensible Jesus was. So let's continue our understanding. They're talking about Jesus with this stranger. They're talking about the impact upon his lives. And as we do, understanding starts to come. There was a great 19th century Baptist minister called C.H. Spurgeon. And in one of his sermons that I remember reading, he wrote this. When we talk about Jesus, Jesus will soon be talking to you. As we talk about Jesus, he will soon be talking with us. So as we journey onwards together, as we walk through our uncertain times, can I encourage us to make time and effort to be with Jesus, to give time to prayer and to study, to waiting and listening on God, and in our small groups, in our Zoom conversations, in our WhatsApp messaging, to keep talking about Jesus, knowing that as we do, he will draw close and start to reveal himself to you. So let's now go back to Jesus as he drew close to those men. Did you notice what Jesus began his conversation with? He began with a question, "What are you talking about?" Yet we know that Jesus knows what they're talking about. Why did he do this? Why did Jesus play dumb? I think it shows the pastoral heart of Jesus. He knew that these two dejected and demoralized and disappointed disciples would benefit from telling their story out loud. So lovingly and patiently, Jesus draws out their story and listens in love. And then he moves it on. Look with me at verses 25 and 27. Jesus then places their personal stories within a bigger perspective, within the whole salvation story. He explains to them the story of salvation through the scriptures and then draws their experiences into that story. And this captivates the two men. It begins to change their demeanor and their outlook. We know this because when they arrive home in Emmaus, Jesus motions to carry on walking beyond the village. But seeing this, Luke tells us that the two men urge Jesus not to carry on walking, but to stop and to come into their homes to spend time with them, that they could bless him with a meal and offer him a bed for the night. If we look in the original Greek, we learn this, that they pleaded with Jesus. So great was their enthusiasm to spend time with him. And then, as the three men shared in the intimacy of a meal, a symbolic sign of real community that the Bible reveals to us, Jesus the guest becomes the host. With a deliberate echo of the Last Supper that Jesus had initiated just a few days before, Jesus took some bread, gave thanks to the Father, broke it, and gave it to them. He is reenacting the freedom meal that he had given, now as the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And as he does that, the scales come off their eyes. The two men understand that this companion is none other than their risen Lord and Saviour. And this transforms everything in their lives. During lockdown, I wonder how you are spending your time. I know that many of us are fully occupied with many pursuits, and chief among those are homeschooling children. But there are other things that we're doing. I wonder what you're doing with your time. One parishioner has told me of their joy in returning to their childhood hobby of building scale models. Another parishioner has told me that they've begun to paint. Another has begun to write. Another parishioner is learning a new language. I wonder, with the time that you have now, how are you using it? Perhaps you're gardening. What music are you listening to or perhaps playing? What games are you accessing on your computer? What books and films might you be reading and watching? I ask you this because I read an article this week about the massive increase in demand that the streaming services of Amazon and Netflix are experiencing. According to this article from a reputable periodical, guess what the most popular genre of films are being watched by the world during our pandemic? Well, far and away, the most popular films being watched on Netflix and Amazon Prime are apocalyptic films like Contagion, World War Z, and Outbreak. We're living in a global pandemic, and yet the stories that most people want to watch to bring into their living rooms and lives are stories about disease and death on a global scale. I wonder, in the anxiety and uncertainty of our days, what story do we want to bring into our homes and lives? You see, those two disciples brought home Jesus and the story of salvation. And their story then became part of the salvation story as they welcomed and honoured the risen Jesus. As I close, I want to invite you, as I invite myself, to be part of the one story that really matters. The one story that transforms our disappointment and fears and gives us peace, meaning, purpose, and a certain future. The one overarching story of which you and I have a key part and God wants you to be part of. God wants us to be part of the only story through which peace and fullness of life is available to all who seek and receive. And this story is the story of God's transforming love in Jesus and life in relationship with Him today, tomorrow, and forever. And through this, the presence of God, the rule and reign of God, His kingdom, what's up there, comes down here. So as I close, can I invite you, as I invite myself, to be more open with God and with our Christian brothers and sisters, to welcome Jesus into the fullness of our lives, to allow His story to become our story, and so that we can know His peace, His presence, and joy. Because as we do, God's story becomes real in our world for good. Amen. A moment just to be still, just to welcome God to seal in our hearts that is what He wants you to receive this morning. And then I'm going to pray a short prayer and invite you to join with me and sing this song, God, I Look to You. Let's be still and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You, Lord, for the reality of the resurrection and the presence of Your Son in our lives by Your Spirit. Lord, may we live more fully and freely with You and for You. May Your story become fully our story as we surrender and honor You. We ask this through Your Son, our risen Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.